This world is so divided right now. We need to quit being motivated by hate, and we need to start being motivated by love. And a great mother is always motivated by love. And when your motivation comes down to where I'm angry, when your motivation is coming down to where I'm hurt and I'm upset and you're not motivated by love, then you're motivated by the wrong things. What it means to be a great mother. And I don't know that there is any one thing that makes a great mother, because mothers are so complex. There are so many different facets to that diamond that's called mother. Amen? But I want to take a look at this one story right out of the Bible of a mother who's dealing with something difficult. She's dealing with a demon-possessed child. Now, I want you mothers of teenagers to know right now, that is not what's going on with your child. Okay, this is a little different. It may feel like that you're dealing with a demon-possessed child, but you're not. I sent my mother, today is my mother's birthday and Mother's Day, so I had to send her two cards. So I sent her a card, and one of the things was talking about, it was a funny card talking about her superpowers, and one of the things on there is that she has the ability to do all these different things, but the very last one was, "I am so thankful with your magical powers you never turned me into a toad." She called me and told me, "You don't know how many times I wish I could have turned you into a toad." Thank you, Mom. I love you too. But here's the thing. Mothers, women, you are amazing. The church is so supportive of you. The scriptures are so supportive of you. In this one passage of scripture, there is something that is only told to one person. Other places it's mentioned, but this is only told to one person, and we'll get to that in just a moment. So what makes a great mother? Well, first of all, she overcomes barriers. She overcomes barriers. And in this story, you read the story, and if you're like most of us, when you read the story, it seems pretty simple. It says they left that place, and it's talking about Gennesaret. And what's happening here is Jesus is leaving because he's tired. He's weary. He's been healing people. He's been preaching. And they just get out of that region, and they go to a region called Tyre or Sidon. And they're in that region, and they're going there because they need rest. Women, you know what it's like after a long day. You need rest. Well, Jesus needed rest too. He went and he withdrew himself. And in Mark chapter 7, you'll see that he went into a house and he was kind of hiding out in the house. But as soon as he got in there, word traveled so quickly that he was there that people began to come. One person in particular was this woman, and she comes to Jesus, and it says here she was a Canaanite woman from the vicinity, and he came to him. Well, she was overcoming some barriers, because being a Canaanite, first of all, meant that she was a foreigner. She was not from the area. She was not a part of the Jewish family. She was foreign to them. As a matter of fact, later on in the story, Jesus refers to that group of people as dogs, and it's not just little dogs, it's lap dogs, basically. He's talking about the dogs that are inside the house. You know, some dogs are, anybody that owns a Great Dane and has them in their house, you've got to be out of your mind. But there are some people that have big dogs. I have a neighbor that has two big huskies, and they have to keep them inside because they were made for Alaska, not Florida, but anyway. But for the most part, people have small dogs, and when she refers to this woman because she was a foreigner, he refers to her as a dog, which doesn't really sound like the Jesus I know. But in this, she had to overcome the fact that she was a foreigner. But the second thing she had to overcome was the fact that she was a woman. In that culture, women did not approach men. It just didn't happen. And she was overcoming big barriers just by going up to Jesus. The fact that she was a foreigner and a woman. So the second thing that she did is that she was motivated by love. It says, my daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. The problem with the world today is most of us are getting motivated by hate. Amen? I cannot get over the divisiveness and the things that are going on in the country. I was talking to somebody, if you don't know, I just went to California and was at a seminar for a few days, and I just got back last night, so if I start to stutter and stumble and just fall over, it's because I'm dealing with jet lag right now. But while I was over there, I was talking to a couple. I guess it wasn't over there, it was on the way home. And he's Hindu, and she's Christian. And I was talking to them. They're about to get married. They were on the plane sitting next to me, and I was talking with them. And when they found out that I was a preacher, they wanted me to do their premarital counseling. And I'm like, I can't do that from Tampa when you're in Austin, Texas. But I tell you what I'll do is we'll talk while we're in here. And I was asking them about their family backgrounds. He was Hindu. She was Christian. I'm like, wow, does that make some interesting discussions between your parents? And they said, well, you know, they're really kind of okay with all that. I'm like, oh. But he looked at me and he says, but we dare not talk about politics. Because her parents are staunch Republican conservatives, and my parents are Democrat and very liberal in their thinking. And he says, we can't even talk about it because we're so scared of what my dad or her dad will say to one another. This world is so divided right now. We need to quit being motivated by hate, and we need to start being motivated by love. And a great mother is always motivated by love. And when your motivation comes down to where I'm angry, when your motivation is coming down to where I'm hurt and I'm upset, and you're not motivated by love, then you're motivated by the wrong things. So a great mother is motivated by love. Number three, she is determined. She is determined. She's not going to take no for an answer. So many times I see people, they just give up quickly. But good mothers, they don't give up. They don't give up on their children. They don't give up on the fact that they're doing things that you don't want them to do. They're determined to stay the course. They're determined to pray. I'll never forget several years ago, this child, she was a young adult. She came and she started coming to church, and her mother was so happy that she started coming to church. And as she's coming to church, she's getting more and more interested in the gospel, more and more interested in the gospel. And I sit down with the woman, we have a Bible study, and she is baptized. It was a great thing. This mother had been praying for this woman, and she started coming. She's baptized. She becomes a Christian. And I found this mother sitting in my office crying afterwards. And I walked in, and I said, what's wrong? Why are you so upset? And she said, because She said, I'm in the office because I don't want my daughter to see me. And I said, why are you so upset? She said, because 1 year ago, I thought I was going to lose her forever, and I almost quit praying for her. Mothers, when it comes to your children, don't stop praying for them. Don't stop loving them. Don't stop looking for opportunities. Be determined. Number four, she knows the power of persistent prayer. She knows what it's like to continue to pray for somebody. A good mother will continue to pray for their children. I love my mother, and I look forward to talking to her. I'm hoping sometime soon to go up and see my mom and dad. But one of the things that my mom will do on a regular basis is she will send me a text and tell me that she's praying for me. Occasionally, she'll watch my sermon, and then she'll call me and say she's praying for the congregation. You'll get that later today. But my point being is you need to have persistent prayer. You don't get the answer that you want right now, but you'll get the answer that you want if you continue to pray. And God asked for us to continue to pray. I love this part of the story. The woman came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me." He replied, "It is not right to take children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." As I was reading this passage, and I've read it several times before, I had to think that the disciples that were with Jesus at this time had to be looking at him like, this is not the guy that we've been around. He's been friendly to everybody. I remember he healed a centurion. And now all of a sudden he is saying, you know, we're not going to give the crumbs. This is not right to feed the dogs. And Jesus, who is basically loving everybody and accepting everybody, is now calling this woman a dog. Now, I'm going to tell you this. In my thinking, if Jesus had said that to me, I would have walked away. I would have thought the answer is no. But this woman, she comes back with the most wonderful answer, and she says, "But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." When it comes to persistent prayer, we've got to learn to humble ourselves. And that's what this woman did. She humbled herself before Jesus, and she continued to pray for him. The reason why I'm telling you this is because, mothers, I know that there's a lot of things going on in the world. I am a father. I'm not a mother, but I am married to a mother. And I know how mothers look at their children, and they want them to be perfect. They want everything to be right in their life. And there's times when our children go astray, and there's times when our children do things that we don't want them to be doing, and we need to be persistent in our prayer. We need to continue to humble ourselves before God, and we need to say those words, "Lord, help me." Number five, she knows her own spiritual needs. The woman came and knelt down before him and said, "Lord, help me." Before we go to God about anything, before we spend time asking God for things, we need to spend time asking God for His help for us. You know, the biggest problem we have in our lives is ourselves, and we need to get out of the way of ourselves. So many times what we want to do is we want to go before God, and we want to say, "God, here's my problems. Fix them." But what we need to do is go before God, the holy God that He is, the God that dwelt with man the beginning of time, the God that parted the seas, the God that gave the Ten Commandments, God that came to this earth and healed people and then hung on a cross, the God that put His Spirit in us. We need to go to that God, and we need to say, "Lord, help me." One of the things that has happened to me over the years of ministry, I have been dealing with a lot of different issues and people having different problems, people in sin, people that are trying to get out of sin, people that have committed sin and got caught. I've had to deal with that quite a bit. And one of the things that I've learned in ministry is the very first thing, instead of being surprised, instead of being shocked by the sins of others, I automatically go to where I've sinned and where I've fallen short. And it gives me compassion for others. And as mothers, that one of the things that she recognized is that she had her own spiritual needs. She was concerned about her daughter who was demon-possessed. She was concerned about her welfare. But at the very root of it was, "Lord, help me." A lot of times I think God allows us to go through some struggles because He wants us to depend on Him when we can't depend on ourselves. That's what God wants from us. You see, faith is not faith when we can fix our own problems. Faith is not faith when we have the answers. Faith is faith when we have no answers and we have to totally depend on God. Number six, she overcomes with faith. Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." Only one other place in the Bible is Jesus tells somebody they have great faith, and it was a centurion. But he didn't tell it to the centurion himself. He spoke to his disciples at that time. So we only have one place in the entire New Testament that talks about Jesus going to someone and saying, "Great is your faith." And it's this woman here who was persistent, who was treated, in my opinion, poorly by Jesus. But Jesus gave her the answer. You see, sometimes we don't understand God. Sometimes we think, "Well, God, why are we going through this right now? Why am I dealing with this right now? I've done everything right." I remember years ago having this conversation with God. I was working for a company and I had two small children, and they decided they wanted me to do something that I wasn't willing to do, and I decided, "Well, if you're going to make me do that, I can't work here anymore." And they said, "Well, fine, we're going to just fire you." And without any notice, without any severance, they fired me. Nancy didn't work. She was home with the kids, and I am sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, "How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to do this?" And I remember getting on my knees and going before the Father and saying, "God, I have done everything that you've wanted me to do. I have served you. I am a deacon in the church. I am doing this for your kingdom. I work with the youth group. I give my money. I am doing what I'm supposed to do. Why did you let this happen to me?" And I know why he let it happen to me. Because he wanted to prove whether or not I would be faithful. This woman has a child, and there's nothing worse than having a child that's sick. We had one, our youngest, right after he was born, he caught pneumonia and was in the hospital, and it was such a hard time. I have vague memories of it. Nancy has the real memories, but I have vague memories of it because it was such a hard time. We thought we were going to lose a child. And I will never forget going, and it was a very difficult time because we've got an infant that doesn't understand, that's sick, and Nancy's staying at the hospital with him, and I'm taking my son, and the older son, and we're going back and forth to the hospital, and when we go into the room where Tyler was, they had him in a cage, it looked like, but they didn't want him to be able to fall out, and so they had what I thought was a cage. And we would have to reach through the bars and hold his hand and comfort him the best we could. And there is nothing harder than to watch a child suffer. This woman, who was motivated by love, loved her child dearly. And you would ask, why would God put somebody through that? And then why would Jesus say, "I didn't come for you, I came for the children of Israel"? And the answer to that question is so that her faith could be proven. Over and over again, God gives us examples of Abraham and Isaac, of where God puts us in situations to see if our faith can be proven. This woman, Jesus looked at and said, "Great is your faith." And today, I want you to know that there's going to come a day for all of us who remain faithful that we will hear these words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." No matter what you're going through right now, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much you're struggling right now with decisions that other people have made that are beyond your control, no matter how much it looks like the world is coming to an end, I'm here to tell you, you need to have faith. And you need to be persistent in your prayer. and God will make a way. Amen. Amen. So the very last point here is her name is Mother. Her name is Mother. Now, I did some research, and in Christian tradition, they name this woman. Her name is Justa, which is just one. She is the just one. And I don't know whether that's true or not. I don't know whether her name is Justa or not, but we are told through the scriptures that she is a mother of a child. And I am here to tell you today that as a mother, it doesn't matter what your name is. When you follow God faithfully, you will be able to be called mother and someone who has such a great faith. I did it, I think. If the service went over today, you're gonna have to blame Bill Collette. It's all his fault. Love you, Bill. That was actually excellent today. Thank you for doing that. Each Lord's Day, we sing an invitation song. We sing that invitation song so that you can check where you are in your relationship with God, to see if you have a spiritual need of some sort. This morning I was teaching the kids on baptism. They actually were helping Logan with his next sermon that he's going to be doing. And we worked on the idea of baptism. And one of the things that was brought out by our teens in the scriptures that we were studying is the fact that we need to be baptized in order to be saved. And that baptism, as Romans chapter 6 says, is that we are buried with Christ in baptism so that we can walk a new life. If you're here today and you've never been baptized and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we've got everything ready so we can do that. But if you're here today and you're just struggling, maybe you're struggling with doubts, depression, disappointments, discouragement, and you need the prayers of the church, we're here to pray for you. If you're struggling with sin and you want to repent publicly, whatever your need, will you come forward as we stand and sing?